Thank you for joining us. Officials from a Russian-led security alliance are heading to Armenia on Thursday after Yerevan requested military help. Fighting with Azerbaijan has intensified in recent days, the worst violence between the two former Soviet republics in 2 years. More than 100 Armenian soldiers and 50 Azerbaijani troops have been killed since Monday night. The contested Nagorno-Karabakh region is at the center of a decades-old dispute between the two countries. Now, there are conflicting reports about a possible truce between Armenia and Azerbaijan. Protesters in Armenia have accused Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan of betrayal after he said he's willing to sign a peace deal to ensure security. Pashinyan later said nothing is official.
I officially state that no paper has been signed. Moreover, no paper is going to be signed. There is no talk about any paper. This information is a conspiracy to demoralize our soldiers standing at the border.
Gabriel Gavin is a freelance journalist covering the conflict between the two states. He has more on what's happening in Yerevan.
Well, I think these are some of the largest protests that Yerevan has seen in recent years. And you've got large numbers of people coming out, turning up to the parliament building, and chants going out calling for the Prime Minister, Nikol Pashinyan's resignation. But I think actually the number of people who have a solution, which is, you know, we need a different leader, we need a different government, is actually very small. A large number of people there, certainly the ones I spoke to, they didn't know what the solution to this conflict is. Armenia has come under attack over the last few days. We've seen massive bombardments, huge evacuations of towns and cities along the border. And what people are really worried about is a repeat of the 2020 war, where Armenia was forced to basically give up a lot of significant swathe of its territory that was inside Azerbaijan's internationally recognized borders.
Well, Nagorno-Karabakh is internationally recognized as part of Azerbaijan's territory, but 95% of the population is ethnic Armenian. Conflict first broke out in 1988 under Soviet rule. Nagorno-Karabakh declared independence and tried to unite with Armenia. As the Soviet Union collapsed, it escalated into outright war. When the fighting ended in 1994, Armenian forces controlled the area and other nearby districts. Full-scale war started again in 2020. After 6 weeks of fighting, Azerbaijan regained much of the territory. A Russian peacekeeping force was deployed to enforce a ceasefire, but fighting still breaks out periodically. Well, for more on this, let's speak to Samuel Doveri Vesterby, who's the managing director at the European Neighbourhood Council and is joining us from Brussels. Thank you very much for being with us, Mr. Vesterby. Both Armenia and Azerbaijan are blaming one another for this renewed fighting. I want to ask you first, why now? Why are we seeing this escalation? And how do the current geopolitical tensions, the war in Ukraine, the tensions between Russia and the West, how does it all fit into this?
Well, I think the most important thing when answering this question is looking at a map. When you look at a map of the Caucasus and you zoom out, you very quickly understand that it's an extremely geostrategic region and that it connects east and west, especially when one considers that there are sanctions in Russia at the moment, meaning that, for example, energy or transportation of various types of goods can no longer pass. Similarly, when one looks south of Azerbaijan and Armenia and the Caucasus in general, one finds Iran, which is another country that's also facing sanctions. And as a result, to put it very simply, let's say, geography dictates that the South Caucasus, meaning Azerbaijan and Armenia, are becoming a bottleneck. And so that's having an enormous impact in how different countries are viewing this and who they're supporting, and of course also the incentives for both Azerbaijan and Armenia to act belligerently towards one another.
Now, the Russian-led security alliance that is on its way to Yerevan at the request of Armenia, what is going to be its role? We know that Russia has traditionally supported Armenia in its territorial dispute with Azerbaijan. But how far can and will Russia support Armenia today in the current geopolitical context?
I mean, the Collective Security Treaty Organization are meeting at the request of Armenia, where Yerevan is seeking this de-escalation to the situation between the two countries. This is, of course, both institutionally problematic and also, many would say, biased, since Azerbaijan is not a member of the Russian-led Collective Security Treaty Organization. which has, in fact, other members, Armenia, Russia, Belarus, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and Tajikistan. So what it also shows is really that Russia is probably incapable of mediating this conflict between Armenia and Azerbaijan, since its first agreement, which is the trilateral agreement from 2020, has quite obviously reached its limits. So in terms of the recent skirmishes, which have been seen on and off since 2021, I mean, it very much shows that both the trilateral agreement has reached its limits, and it also shows that Russia is clearly not a very credible guarantor or mediator in this conflict, because it lacks the credibility, because it's using such organization as the CSTO.
What about Turkey's role in all of this? We've heard the Turkish foreign minister criticizing Armenia for this latest escalation. What role is Turkey playing in this conflict?
Well, Turkey notoriously also has a difficult relationship with Armenia, but Turkey has, over the last few years, tried to re-engage with Armenia, and there have been very positive diplomatic efforts between the two countries. Then it also plays another role in the sense that Turkey is an inevitable part of either energy or transport supply chains that come from Azerbaijan and go to Europe. And of course, this is extremely relevant these days because of Ukraine and because of the gas markets, which are needed from the EU and which have been negotiated with Azerbaijan by the UK, Italy, and many other countries over the past few months. And then finally, what's perhaps also important to mention is that Turkey plays a role within the trilateral agreement. It has a monitoring position, but a rather small one. And I think there is both space for more Turkish involvement and, of course, also more EU involvement on this in order to make any agreement between the two countries more credible.
Right. And so where does this leave negotiations over the status of Nagorno-Karabakh? And would you say that Azerbaijan today is in a stronger position because of its role as a source of natural gas? It has increased its importance, as you said, to Europe in the wake of reduced Russian gas to the European continent.
I think the correct way of putting it is indeed that it is in a stronger situation, mm-hmm. also because it will have more international backing today because of what's happening with Russia and with Ukraine. But at the same time, I think Azerbaijan is also in an extremely precarious situation because we've seen before that Russia is willing to use a lot of force on its neighbors and especially on its ex-Soviet neighbors. We've seen it, of course, most tragically in Ukraine. But we've also seen that Russia has utilized the Collective Security Treaty Organization in Kazakhstan when unrest had to be quelled.
Thank you so much for talking to us. Thank you for your insights. Samuel Deveri Vesterbay from the European Neighborhood Council joining us there from Brussels.